see here, Peter, James, and John, if you want to word it this way, I guess you could say that they were sort of like the inner circle, if you would. Whenever it seems in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, wherever Jesus was, Peter, James, and John was there most of the time. And they were always close to him. And there might have been a lot of different reasons for that. Maybe the Lord actually wanted them to be there. We know that he did, but I'm saying if you could look at it from their standpoint, I would say maybe they wouldn't ever want to miss anything. Amen. And they wanted to be in on it. I mean, there were 12 disciples, but not all of them were as close to the Lord as these three. Now, they were men just like you and I are. They all had their issues just like we all have our issues. Amen. But I would say this, if you fast forward to 2015, there's a lot of people that might be saved today, but not everybody is close to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. We're living in the last days. We're at that falling away that the Bible talks about. Right. But can I just tell you tonight, I don't want to be content with the falling away. Let everybody else do what they're going to do, but you and I don't have to fall away.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
You and
that's
I
right.
Can stay straight. You and I can stay right. You and I can stay close to God no matter what happens.
Amen.
No matter what goes on, no matter what the world does. Amen. And I guarantee you, there's a pretty good crowd here tonight. And I can guarantee you tonight, in this service right here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, there's several different categories of people here tonight.
Yeah.
Say, what are you talking about, Brother Craig? What I'm saying is this: there's a group of people here tonight that you would fall under that classification as very close to the Lord. Not saying that you're anybody, but you would say that you're close to God tonight. And then there's that group of people, amen, that maybe you would say, well, I'm not very close, but I'm somewhat close. Or there's that group of people, maybe you fall under the category of far away from the Lord. And if you fall into that category, then you might fall into the next category as well, where you used to be close to the Lord, but aren't now.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, as we travel around the country, that one of the saddest things of being an evangelist is going to a church year after year after year, and then all of a sudden it's not what you see that breaks your heart, it's who you don't see after a while.
Right.
Asking the preacher, hey, whatever happened to so-and-so? Whatever happened to so-and-so? And boy, I mean, if the Lord called them into the work and maybe they're on the field somewhere or serving the Lord another, boy, that's a blessing, amen?
Yeah.
But there's that crowd that a lot of times they fall into the category of, well, they don't come anymore. Uh-huh. Ain't seen them in weeks or months or years. Mm. And that breaks our heart as an evangelist, and it breaks the pastor's heart to see people that were coming to a place where they could get some help and they could get some help from God and they just forsook that and walked away. And then there's that crowd and there might be one or more here tonight that falls into this category where you never have been close to the Lord because you've never been saved.
That's good, brother. Yep.
Can I tell you tonight, if you've never been saved, you're in a good place to be tonight. Because you're surrounded by a bunch of people that love you and want to see you get saved and want to see you be able to know how your sins can be forgiven and how you can spend eternity with Christ in a place called heaven.
Amen.
Amen. I'd encourage you to get saved tonight if you're not saved. We're not guaranteed another day. We're not guaranteed another breath. We're not guaranteed, amen, we're not guaranteed another moment on this earth. And
that's
the
right.
Bible says that today is the day of salvation.
Yes,
right now is the time. But there's also a group of people, this goes back to the saved ones, and you preachers will identify with knowing people that are like this. There's that crowd that think they're close to the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
But they're really not.
Right.
You say, what are you talking about? Think they're close to the Lord. There's that crowd that really thinks they're living a life in obedience to the Word of God. They're living a life that God is pleased with, but they're what they're basing that decision on is not the Word of God, but based on just what they see and feel and think about what other people think around them.
Mm-hmm.
See, you realize that we have in America in general today, we've lost the idea of what holiness is all about and what spirituality is all about.
Right.
And boy, we got people that they come to church 3 times a week, they think they're ready for the mission field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they never walk with God. They don't know what it's like to spend time in prayer with God. They don't know what it's like to go through valleys and hard times and all of that. But boy, I'm telling you, think about this Peter, James, and John. They got to see all of these things. And Peter says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And I got to looking at this here just a few weeks ago and thinking about that statement. This Brother Cliff, that's one of those. There's a message in there somewhere, amen, but amen. And I always wanted to preach on it, but the Lord just never gave me a thought on it. But I got some reasons tonight that I want to give you on why it's good to be where God's at.
Mm-hmm.
Why it's good to be where God's at. Here's the first one, and it's a real deep one. This is a real deep. You ready? Whenever you're with the Lord, it's a good thing.
Amen.
That's good.
Say, what are you talking about, Brother Craig? Well, think about the alternative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, it's a scary thing to be in a place where God isn't.
That's right.
It's a scary thing to be in a point of your life, in a location, a place in your life where, I mean, God isn't anywhere around.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Yep. By the way, if you're in a place like that, it's not because God left.
That's right.
It's not because God changed. Amen. It's because we do.
Yes, right.
It's because we do. Go over to Psalm. Hold your place there in Matthew 17. We'll be coming back there many times. But Psalm 16. Psalm number 16. Thank God for the Bible.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Psalm 16. Look at verse number 11. David says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Can I tell you that in his presence there's fullness of joy? Now that's one of those statements that if you figured out what the opposite says, then that's true also.
Yes, sir.
Meaning that in his presence of fullness of joy, but outside of his presence, there is no joy.
Yeah.
Outside of the presence of God, there's nothing but misery.
That's
there's
right.
Nothing but discontentment.
Yes,
and listen, you're not gonna be any happier than when you're in the presence of God.
Amen.
You know, we got everybody today wants to be happy.
Yeah.
Boy, everybody's on a quest for happiness. And you go to the bookstores and you find all these self-help books
yeah,
on this
right.
side or the other, just trying to make people happy. But listen, outside of God, outside of the presence of God, there is no
amen,
fullness
brother.
Of
that's
joy.
Right.
There
amen.
Is no peace.
Amen.
There is no happiness. And
amen.
There is no
that's what preacher, brother.
Outside of God's yeah. presence.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Well, I tell you, I guarantee you, you look around the church house and you see the people that are always miserable, it's safe to assume one thing.
Yeah, buddy.
They're not spending a whole lot of time with God.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
They ain't spending a whole lot of time with God. They're not enjoying that fellowship that God intended to have with his people. Old preacher years ago, he taught us, he said that you ought to teach your children 3 things. You ought to teach your children how to know God. Then you ought to teach your children how to love God. And then he would always, like preachers do, like to trip us up on the third one. Try to get you to guess the third one. And everybody said, well, you ought to teach your children to serve God. He said, no. He said, you ought to get your children to enjoy
God. Oh, yeah.
Amen. You ought to get your children to enjoy God. Hey, you want to know why we're having a hard time seeing a lot of the children today enjoy God? It's because we can't get the adults to enjoy God.
That's right, brother. Yep.
How do you expect your kids to enjoy God if you feel like going to church is a drag? If
that's
you're
right.
Over there reading your Bibles,
that's right,
door,
brother. Yes,
if
sir.
You feel like serving God is something you'd rather not do, don't expect your kids to enjoy it.
That's right. Yes, sir,
and
brother.
And then we wonder 20 years down the line why we've got a whole generation that we've lost.
Yep, right.
Where they haven't looked at us and seen any pleasure and any enjoyment in the
right.
things of God.
Amen, right. brother. Oh, yes, amen. Sir.
Wherever you're with God, it's a good place to be. Go over to 63, Psalm 63. David said, "Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee." How many of you here tonight got saved after you were 20 years old? Would you have preferred
oh, yes.
back on it
oh,
to have gotten saved early?
Oh, yes, sir, brother. No question.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Could have saved a lot of heartache.
Yes, sir,
could
brother.
Could have saved, amen, a lot of frustration.
Right, brother.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
David said, "Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land." You know that's how the Bible was written a long time ago. Because the average person today does not, amen, get to their flesh to the point where their flesh longs and thirsts for God.
Amen.
We are in a dry and
yes,
thirsty
sir,
land today.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about, amen, New York State, New England, the North, South, East, West, the United States of America. We're in a dry and thirsty place today.
Amen.
We can blame Hollywood and we can blame Washington, but that's not the reason why.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right, brother.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
We're in a dry and thirsty land tonight because the children of God quit doing what they
well,
were supposed yeah.
to do. Oh, yeah, brother.
40 years ago, amen.
Mark that while, preacher.
Well, everybody wants to cuss the Supreme Court out, but amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not the Supreme Court's fault.
That's right,
right brother. Amen. Yep.
It says, verse number 2, look what David was longing for, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. He had a desire to see the glory and power of God.
Yes.
Well, I'm telling you, isn't it amazing how we can have one of, quote unquote, those types of church services? Boy, where you just tell people you just had to be there.
Amen.
Yeah. But amen, why don't we see that more often?
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen, why don't we see that more often? Listen, it's a chore just to get people to the house of
yeah,
God.
You ain't
much
kidding.
Less be thankful that they're there.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. I mean, how many times I've heard pastors tell me that church members have said, "Preacher, you ought to just be thankful I made it."
Yeah. Oh,
David said, "I want to see God's power and His glory."
Amen.
Verse 3, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." What he's saying there is this. Hey, listen, just as much as a good meal will satisfy the flesh, he said, I want to be that satisfied in my soul
Amen.
With God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Hey, listen, you ain't got to forget God when you go to sleep.
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
Verse 7, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice.
Yes.
My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." And it all goes back to verse number 1. He was longing for God.
Oh.
He knew where it was a good place to be.
Yes.
He knew where the blessings were. He knew where the peace was. He knew where the contentment came from. And Peter, look, he said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." And then go back over there to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Look in verse number 2. It says, "And it was transfigured," about Christ, "was transfigured before them, And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. I'm going to say it's good for them to be there because, number two, they got to see things the other people didn't get to see.
Amen.
They got to see things the other people didn't get to see.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, I already said before, there was more than three disciples, amen, but those other nine didn't get to see this.
That's right.
Why? Because they weren't where Jesus was at.
That's good,
bro. I ain't going to argue with you for what the reasoning was and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just going to tell you, if you stay with Christ, he will let you see things that he doesn't see.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Else.
Right.
He will let you see things that are reserved for a special group of people that remain and have a desire to want to be close to him.
Amen.
It's good, brother.
It's not an exclusive group. You say, what do you mean? It comes out of desire. Brother Don Green preached up at the camp meeting in Hamburg last week. He made a statement I heard him say many, many times. You are as spiritual as you want to be.
That's right.
Can I tell you tonight, you put your location with God. Think about how close you are to God tonight. And wherever that is, whether it's close to him, a little bit of ways away or far away, the only reason you're where you're at in relation to God is because that's where you want to be.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's right.
If you're here tonight, sitting here in the meeting this week, and you're close to God, it's because that's where you want to be. But if you're here tonight, and you're as far away from God as you've ever been, you got nobody to blame, amen. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not the evangelist's fault. It's not your wife's fault, your husband's fault, the kid's fault. It's your own fault. That's exactly where you want to be.
Oh, that's good, brother.
I'm going to tell you this.
Yeah, preach
it. They got to see something that nobody else got to see.
Right.
His face was shining. They got to see Moses and Elijah talking. They've been off the scene for thousands of years. And all of a sudden, here they are again. Now, I don't know about you, but you talk about bragging rights.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, how many of them, they didn't go tell the other disciples what they saw. He told them not to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but this is my personality. If I have exclusive inside information, it's a point of, I don't want to say pride, but you know, you just feel like you got something somebody else did. But I can, if I was there with them, I can imagine when I'm hooked up back with the other disciples. And I was able to go back up there and say, man, you guys should have seen what we got to see.
Yeah.
And then maybe Matthew or one of the other disciples said, what'd you get to see? He said, I can't tell you.
Right?
Jesus told me not to say anything. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, but listen, I'm going to tell you right now. Can I say that there's been times in my life where I've been close and super close to God, and he's allowed me to see things I would have never got to have seen if I was far away from him. I'm telling you, it's good going with God. It's good going first class with God. He lets you in on some things that are reserved only for the ones that are close to him.
Oh, amen.
That's
amen.
Good, brother. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. I heard somebody say it last week up in Hamburg, and I've said it many, many, many times before. I've said it for years and years. You're looking at one spoiled brat child of God. That's how I feel. How good God has been.
Amen.
And the Lord has allowed us three times now. Well, me, I always have to leave my wife out on this one. Amen. Lord allowed me to preach in the Caribbean three times. And just other things that he's allowed us to do. And how he's blessed. And 2 years ago, he gave us a 40-foot motor home that we travel the country in and live in. And when I say he gave it to us, I mean he gave it to us. Oh, it wasn't free. It was $28,000, but God gave us $28,000 and we paid cash money
Amen.
For it. Now, I understand. I'm just telling you what God did for me, okay?
That's right.
Amen.
That vehicle, that 2003, amen, Chevy Trailblazer out there with 187,000 miles on it, you say, that's a lot of mileage. Yeah, but guess what? You know what my monthly payment is on it? I ain't got one.
Yeah. Amen.
And listen, everybody that's ever been close to God has got story after story like that. Yes, it may not be a motorhome. It may not be a car. But you've got stories like that of how God has given you things because you were close to Him that He would have never gave them to you if you were far away.
Right. Amen. Right. Yes, sir.
See, I wish God would take a better care of me. Well, why don't you get closer to Him?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm not bragging. I'm nobody. I know I'm nobody. I'm going to tell you, when I got saved as an 8-year-old boy, I was taught right from the beginning, if you're going to be in, go all the way in. Man, when the doors are open, be there. When there's special events going on, be there. If there's an opportunity to minister, be there. I know a preacher, Brother Jack Wood, down in Houston, Texas. He's in heaven, but he always taught his men that he trained in that church. He said, just find out what God's doing and get in on it.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the way we ought to be. Amen. Hey, listen, just be wherever God's at.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, I need to know all the details first. I gotta pray about it. You gotta pray about being close to God.
Amen.
Amen. But these men, because they were close to Him, because they didn't let Him out of their sight because of all that. Hey, listen, they got to see things that nobody else got to see. I thank God when we're in a church service and, boy, testimonies get going on and people stand up and testify about how God did this and God did that. I rejoice with them and I shout the victory with them. But thank God I'm able to say, hey, I got a few of my own stories.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen.
I love listening to everybody else's blessings, but I got several of my own.
Amen. Amen. That's good, brother. Yeah.
Look at David over. Hold your place in Matthew. Go to Psalm 21. Psalm 21, David said this. He's speaking in the third person about himself. And in Psalm 21, verse number 6, for thou, talking about God, hast made him, that means me, David, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. Well, I tell you what, if you're here tonight and you're saved and you don't feel most blessed, something's wrong. And I guarantee what is wrong, it lies in your relationship with God.
That's good.
That is where the problem would be located. Well, I'm telling you, the people that are the closest to God get to see Him work the most. I ain't going to take the time to turn over there, but you're over in Exodus chapter 33, Moses has a desire to see God. And God says, you can't see my face, but He says, I'll let you see my hinder parts. And God says to Moses, He said, there is a place by me. He said, Moses, He said, I've got a special spot by me. And if you're there, I'll let you see part of me.
Amen.
And there's that super spiritual cry. Well, why? Why? I mean, why wouldn't He just let him see His face? Hey, we ought to be thankful with whatever God allows us to see, with whatever God allows us to do, however He allows us to serve Him. Yeah. We ought to shout the victory.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I don't have to serve God. I get to serve God.
Oh, that's good, you, brother. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Back yes, sir. That's good.
When was the last time you asked God to let you see Him?
Yeah.
I will say this, asking God to let Him, if you ask God, God, let me see you work, it's almost like praying for patience sometimes. He might let you see Him work.
Yeah.
In ways that you weren't thinking. We all want the glory in the, like Moses had in the cleft of the rock, and we get to see Him. But when He delivers you from troubles, that's just another way He lets us see
Him.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Over there in verse number 5, Matthew chapter 17, look at verse number 5. It says, while He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. I want to say it was good for them to be here, good for them to be there, number 3, for this reason. They got to hear the voice of God. Can I just say to you tonight, church, how we need to hear the voice
of
God.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We need to hear the voice
yes,
of God.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Well, I don't know if you've ever been in a place like this in your life where you have gone days or weeks or months without hearing God's voice.
Oh, help us, Lord.
Sometimes we can go a long time without hearing the voice of God because we're not looking for it. But sometimes we can go a long time without hearing the voice of God because he's refrained himself.
Oh, help us.
To try to find out how serious we are about wanting to hear his voice.
Oh, that's good, bro.
I'm going to tell you, they was able to hear the voice of God because they was where Jesus was at.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, we need to hear the voice of God.
Yes, sir. Yep.
We got so many people listening to the wrong voices.
That's right. Yes, sir, brother. Yep. You know
what I mean? I told the folks over at Buck Settlement last night, we got so many people, boy, they'd rather hear Rush Limbaugh's voice.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They'd rather hear Dr. Phil's voice.
Right? Yep.
Or Oprah's voice.
That's right.
Or God forbid Hillary's voice. Or, amen. They need to hear that. They need to hear that voice of the TV preacher. Amen. Joyce Meyer. Amen. I appreciate that. I get a kick out of that kind of stuff. Amen. I used to, every once in a while, I'll turn Benny Hinn on. You say, why you do that? For comic relief.
Yeah.
But there's one thing, if I'm ever flipping through the channels, amen, and I see Joyce Meyer on, there ain't no way I'm stopping to listen. You say, why is that? She might say something good. And I don't ever want to use it in one of my messages. I'm a little preacher, amen.
Yeah, but.
Amen. I'm telling you, we got voices creeping into the church today. We got the voice of liberalism creeping into the churches today. Modernism. Political correctness. I'm not talking about the world's crowd tonight. I'm talking about what's creeping into the churches tonight.
Yep. Got that
we got
right.
The voice of compromise that has come in to the church. Thank God for churches that will stand and still stand and stand for the same stuff today they did 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Thank God for preachers who still preach the same stuff they did 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
There's some stuff I don't preach anymore that I used to because I had to quit doing it. I found out it wasn't in the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. All the verses that I thought was there, amen, they ain't there no more. But I ain't talking about that stuff. I'm talking about preaching the book and staying with the book.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We need to hear the voice of God.
Yes.
That's good.
Boy, you look over, I'm not going to take the time, but Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 heard the voice of God. Moses heard it in Exodus 4. The children of Israel heard it in Deuteronomy 4. Isaiah heard it. Samuel heard it. Ezekiel heard it. Daniel heard it. The disciples, amen, in our text, they heard it. Saul, who later became Paul, heard the voice of God. Hey, go over to 1 Kings 19. This is a familiar verse. Everybody knows this. 1 Kings chapter 19. Look at verse number 11. Says, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, but and after the fire a still small voice. Oh, Brother Craig, I'm longing to hear that still, small voice of God. Can I just give you a practical thought tonight? It's hard to hear a still, small voice in a noisy environment.
Yes, sir. That's good, brother.
It's hard to hear a still, small voice when you're crowded with all these other things that are vying for your attention and screaming at you. And most of the things that we got that are clouding the voice of God, we've turned them on and we have turned them up. God ain't going to raise his voice just to accommodate us for all the junk we got in our life. He's just going to keep giving that still, small voice. I'm going to tell you, if there's ever been a time in your life where you cannot hear that still, small voice, it's because you got everything else yet.
That's good. Yeah, that's right.
You need to turn it off. Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Turn the computer off.
Mm-hmm.
turn the phone off, turn the iPad off, turn the TV off, turn the video games off. And can I just interject this little pet peeve right here? I am sick to death about all these adults on these video games.
Yes, sir, brother. Yeah.
I could. You listen. It's like golf. If you want to play a video, whatever. I don't care about all that kind of stuff. But I've seen adults that are so wrapped up in that junk.
Yeah.
Right.
They can't even go to church because they're going to miss some competition or whatever on the video games. God help us.
Amen.
We wonder why we're not turning the world upside down for Jesus. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Uh-huh.
It's good.
Say, what's the voice of God today? The word of God.
Uh-huh.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Go back over to Matthew chapter 17. Let's give you a couple more here. Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse number 6. It says that when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. Can I say that it's a good place to be where he's at? Because being with him will keep you humble.
Yeah.
They heard the voice of God, and what did? They immediately fell on their face. Can I tell you something tonight, child of God? Pride has no place in the presence of God.
Oh, yes.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, we live in one of the most prideful generations. I can say this because I are one, but one of the most prideful creatures on the face of the planet today is a Baptist preacher.
Yes, sir, brother. Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
Yep.
I had a guy tell me just the other day, he's an evangelist out of a big church. And he said, I'm not trying to be mean or nothing, he says, my pastor does not make a move without first considering his national image.
Wow.
And what everybody around the country is going to think about him. He said, he don't put out one flyer, one this or one that, without first thinking about what his national image is going to be. Brother Craig, how do you deal with that? I ain't got a national image. I ain't got to worry about it.
Yes, sir, brother.
I don't always get excited when I hear somebody come up to me that I never met before say, I've heard about you. I wait to see if we let them finish whether that's going to be good. I pray it is good.
Yeah, amen.
Well, I'm
going to
tell you, preachers, we better stay humble.
Amen.
We better stay humble. Well, I tell you, it don't matter. You get in a meeting like this and there's, you know, 3-4 evangelists here and all that. We ain't in competition with one another.
Amen.
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 I know evangelists, they get in a meeting like this and, you know, they got to make sure, amen, they hand all the prayer cards out and they go talk to every pastor and all that, hoping to book a meeting. And all. Forget about all that junk, man.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Let's just have church and enjoy God.
Amen.
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 That's good, brother. Yeah.
I'm telling you, you want to laugh? Just watch. Just pick any, really, basically any preacher and just watch him for a few days. Amen. You're gonna come up with some funny stories. Amen. Brother, I was at a wake in Alabama. A wake. A pastor's son had died, and there was a missionary there handing prayer cards out at the funeral home.
Oh wow.
I said, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Right.
Well, hey, listen. You want to know really what the motto of Facebook and Twitter and all that is? Because everybody should care about me as much as I care about you.
Yeah. You're right.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
We do not give a rip what you had for lunch. You don't have to tell us, ladies, when you put your makeup on.
Yeah.
We don't care. Amen. I understand. I'm on there and all that. And I'll just be honest with you. I unfollowed about 99% of the people on there. We got a miniature schnauzer. That's all I go on Facebook for anymore is to look at pictures of miniature schnauzers. That's all I do. just keep reminding myself, nobody has a better looking dog than we got. Amen. But listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you better stay humble.
Amen.
You look at somebody who walks around proud as a peacock all the time, you can make this assumption from them. You say, what's that? They ain't spending a whole lot of time with the Lord.
That's
right. Listen, I'm going to tell you, Abraham met with God and he fell down flat on his face. Moses fell down. Ezekiel fell down. Peter said, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Amen. Saul in Acts chapter 9 and his conversion experience was, I mean, he was looking for the bushes, man, because he came into contact with God.
Yeah.
That old preacher I was telling you about a minute ago, Brother Jack Wood, he came up with another saying. He said, man is the only creature that can strut sitting down.
Yeah. That's good.
Say, Brother Craig, do you hate pride? Yeah, I hate pride. I think it was Moody or Spurgeon or one of them old-time preachers said this. He said, humility is something you should always ask God to give you, but never thank Him that you have it. Amen. Pride people only hate one kind of pride, everybody else's. Brother Ireland's here tonight, amen. He had a guy come up to him one time, and the guy said that God had given him a gift. And Brother Ireland said, what gift do you have? He said, well, God's given me a special gift. I can pick pride out in people. And that same guy came back later and apologized to him because he found out God showed him why he was able to pick pride out in people.
Yeah, buddy.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, thank God he saw it. Amen.
Yeah, amen, yeah.
Amen. Go there, Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse number 7. Bible says in the first part of verse 7 that Jesus came and touched them. It's good for us to be here because being in His presence allows Him to touch us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Can I just make this statement? We need the touch of God.
Oh,
yes. Yes. Amen.
I'm going to tell you right now. Any pastor that's got a brain, or any preacher, not pastor, any preacher that's got a brain realizes you ain't going to do anything without a touch of God.
Oh, help us, Lord, please. Yes.
Right. Evangelist, you ain't going to be able to accomplish anything in your ministry without a touch of God.
Yes. Help us.
We need the touch of God. I'm going to tell you right now, as a preacher, this right here is the scariest place to be. What do you mean? I'm saying I do not want to be in this place without the touch of God.
Oh, yes.
Hey, Brother Craig, you ever been in a pulpit without the touch of God?
Ooh.
More than I care to admit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
More than I care to admit.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
It's a joke I tell around. It was a joke. It really happened. Amen. Guy called me to preach, and I preached for him. He sat on the front row, and 2 minutes into the message, he pulled out a Field and Stream magazine and read it for the rest of the message. He said, well, he shouldn't have done that. Well, I know this. He probably got more out of that message that night than everybody else that was listening to me. Because the Lord might have been in the building, Brother Ashwood, but he wasn't nowhere around the pulpit yet. 2 minutes after he pulled the magazine out, I'm having this mental war in my brain while I'm trying to preach. You say, what's that?
Oh.
Do I sit down or do I keep going?
Yeah, I'm telling
well,
you.
I made a mistake. You say, what'd you do? I kept going.
Yeah.
Probably should have just sat down.
Yeah, that's right.
Closed up shop and maybe let him preach or dismiss or whatever. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, hey, listen, it is not just the preachers that need the touch of God.
Right.
Say, what are you talking about? Parents, you need the touch of God to raise those kids.
Yes, sir.
Children, you need the touch of God. A church needs a touch. Church members need a touch. Pastors, missionaries, evangelists, ministries, ministry workers, Sunday school teachers, husbands, wives, you need a touch of God.
Amen.
Amen.
We have become content living our daily life without the touch of God.
That's right. Very content. Yes, sir, brother.
That's good. Boy, I'm telling you, you get so busy. Can I just speak from an evangelist point of view? You drive, you set the rig up, you preach, and then the meeting's over, and then you tear it down, and you go to your next place. And the tendency, the temptation to just get stuck in the rut of them going through the motions is very real. I don't want to have meetings just to say the calendar's full and the schedule looks good. Hey, I want to have the touch of God and be a help and a blessing and try to make a difference where we go.
Yes, amen. That's good, brother. Yep.
The word touch. The word touch means to come in contact with. You want to know what we've got? We've got churches full of people that have not come in contact with God in a long time.
Amen.
Pastors.
Come on.
One of the most difficult things to do is pastor people that have no relationship with God.
Oh, help us, Lord. Yes, sir. That's good.
You're beating your head up against a wall.
Whew.
That's good. That's true.
The word touch means to perceive by the sense of feeling. You know, it's sad, but in some people's relationship, if God didn't walk up to them with a sticker that said, "Hello, my name is God," they wouldn't recognize God. I'm not trying to be smart about it, but they
would. That's right. Preach it, brother. Yeah,
I'm telling you, God gets blamed for a lot of things that aren't his fault that he never did because people don't know God.
That's good. Preach it, brother.
The word touch means to soften. Well, I'm telling you, we need God to soften our hard hearts. We need God to soften our hard lives.
Man, come on.
Well, I'm telling you, I heard so much preaching in the last few days, and Brother Ferguson over there at Buck Settlement preached yesterday morning about that potter's wheel.
Yeah.
You want to know why that clay could be made into something? Because that potter had to touch it.
Yeah, amen.
We need the touch of God.
That's good.
Old Brother Earl Hughes, old mountain preacher, he's been to heaven for about 3 or 4 years now. He just had that old country wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jesus said that you take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, you know the good thing about being in the yoke with the Lord? He says every once in a while you get to bump into him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We got people in our churches today, they ain't bumped into the Lord in a long time.
Sure.
Let me give you another one right quick here. Matthew chapter 17, look at verse number 7. Jesus said, "Arise and be not afraid." You know what being close to the Lord does? It helps our fear. It helps our fear.
That's God.
See, Craig, what are you talking about? I guarantee you, amen, don't all act super spiritual on me tonight. Every single one of us got things that we
That's
fear.
Right, brother. Yes, sir. You got it.
Yeah. You know, the biggest things that we fear is the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
The unknown. I had a man come up to me last week at the camp meeting, and the Lord moved us to Indiana last November, and he had just started coming to the church. Well, he may have been going there for a couple of years, but we was hardly ever there being on the road. And he come up to me and he said, "The Lord has put you on my heart." And he said, "I don't know you." He said, "I know who you are." And he said, "I know you were here." And he said, "But we never really got close." He said, "But the Lord's laid on my heart." He said, "What can I do for you? What can I do for you?" I didn't even have to, amen, I know me too well. I didn't even have to hesitate. I said, "Here's what you can do." I said, "Pray for me." But I said, specifically in this area. And I gave him a specific area of just something that I struggle with. And it has to do with this idea of fear. I said, if I just knew that you were specifically, however often, once a week, once a day, once a month, however often you pray for me, that you specifically would pray for me in this area, I said, just knowing that would be a blessing to me. But we all have things we fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when the storm rose up in Matthew chapter 4, and that storm rose up, and they was all afraid. And Jesus came up after they woke him up, and they said, he said, "Why are you so fearful?" Well, I hate it when God just asks us those kind of questions.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be irreverent.
That's right, bro. Yeah. Yes, sir.
that way. You know, when God asks you a question like that, why are you so fearful? That's not a rhetorical question. That's a question he wants you to answer.
Yes.
So you could hear it, not so he could find out the answer.
That's good.
Amen.
That's good.
Well, I'm trying to, I got an illustration going through my mind. I can't remember what, well, I remember what it was. First time I ever preached a meeting for Mike Keenan. I was scared to death. Brother Keenan, he's a great guy. But if you don't know him real well, he could have an intimidating personality. So we get down there, and I'm getting ready to start the meeting that night, and I was praying. We was in the room there, and I said, Lord, I said, if I've ever needed your help to preach, I need you tonight and this week. And boy, I'm telling you, God in my spirit, he says, why do you think you need me more tonight than you do any other time?
Yeah.
And I said, you're right, Lord. He said, no, you didn't answer the question.
Come on.
And he says, you and I ain't going any further in this relationship until you answer the question.
Like that.
And I had to admit, I said, well, Lord, I said, I guess I feel like there's times where I can do it by myself, but when I find myself in a hard spot, I really need you. He said, well, he said, the truth of the matter is, he said, you need me all the time. You don't need me more tonight than you ever had before. He said, now let's go preach at me. I'm telling you, it's good when he just has to take us to school. Amen.
Amen.
Let me give you the last one real quick. I get out of the way. Matthew chapter 17, verse number 8. It says, when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. You want to know why it's good to be where the Lord is? Because it keeps our focus where it needs to be. They looked up, they couldn't see anybody or anything else except the Lord.
That's good, brother.
Amen.
Ask your question tonight, church. Where are you focused tonight?
Come on.
Where's your eyes tonight? Where's your heart tonight? Where if people, man... Boy, there might be some people here tonight, you're here, but you're not here.
Mm-hmm.
You're already thinking about what you're going to watch when you get home on the television, amen. You're already thinking about, amen, what's to eat afterwards and all that. You're focused on everything except what God has been trying to do since this service started.
Thank you. Well, yep, it's you're good. Right. Yep, it's good.
Well, I tell you, the storms of life trying to get our focus off of Him. Deuteronomy says we need to cleave to Him. And that word cleave means to stick to adhere to. And I looked up the word adhere just to get a definition for adhere. The word adhere means to stick to as glutinous substances. Now, I don't mean like gluten-free, that kind of gluten. That means, I looked up the word glutinous and it means this, having the quality of glue. You know what he's saying there when he's saying cleave to me? He said, I want you to glue yourself to me. I want you to be so close that nothing can get between us. I want you to get so close that nothing can separate us.
That's good, brother. Yep.
I want you to be so close that when I move, you move. When I stop, you stop. I wonder how many people here tonight, you could say that right now, tonight, amen, at 8:05, August 24, 2015, I am that close to the Lord. I'm not talking about where were you at yesterday or last week or last month. I'm talking about right now. How many of you can say, I am that close? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask our brother to come play a verse of invitation.